Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Did you know that? The Bible doesn't condemn gays, but I know a lot of you do. Now, things are starting to change here a little bit. You know, we've had a few things that are going on that is changing things in the world. We're finding out that we're having a lot of different kind of things that is changing the way that we've had life before. We now know that Bush is going to be here for another 4 years, and the Middle East may change a little bit, you know. In Palestine, we heard about, you know, the changing of the guard over there, and things are, as people might be telling you when you go to church, lining up a little bit better. But there's also some other things that are marking this sign of a change as we're going quicker into where we'll be getting into Antichrist's kingdom. And that is that, hey, gays are going to start figuring out what it is that their purpose is in the church. You see, gays have been active in a way in faith in Jesus Christ for some time. First, it started with the Catholics in a group called Dignity, which started in 1967. A year later, in 1968, the Protestants started with MCC. And by the way, that was founded by a Pentecostal Foursquare church person, but it has moved into a interdenominational type church. And then the year after that, 1969, the secular gays began to stand up for their rights. Now, the process has taken much longer than that, because like in the late 40s, there was some therapists and psychiatrists that had a lot of friends that were gay, and she hung out with them and everything and saw that their lives were pretty normal, even though, you know, back in those times, you didn't go out broadcasting you were gay, but she was friends with them and went out with them and stuff like that. And then she went to work, and her particular company that, you know, the therapist would be trying to help sick people, and they had a lot of gays there and that were really, you know, sick because they were depressed and they were, you know, all kinds of terrible things because so many people say so many bad things about them. You know, you're going to have therapist places full. That's why I have so many therapists in the world because, you know, straights, they, you know, they can't handle things and so they need to go to their psychiatrist and everything. And so you got psychiatrists dealing with sick people in the mental area. And so, and of course, you know, society had said this and that about gays, and they thought it was a disease. And so she, had she gone out with these friends and had a good time with them, seeing that they had good jobs and good attitude towards life and were decent people and had a good grip on things and seemed pretty normal, you know, and then she'd go to work and had to go along with all the therapists saying that they're sick and all this kind of stuff, and this didn't make sense to her. So she began to do some more and more research and began to do some studying on healthy gays, since the psychiatrist group only saw sick people. You know, that's how they basically do. You don't have a therapist going out and interviewing perfectly healthy people. They only minister, as it were, to sick people. And so she began something new, and this began to make a way because she wrote books and all that kind of stuff, and things started going out, and she's changed some her colleagues' minds, and as times continued on, it got more and more to the area where they began to realize, you know, most gays aren't sick. And this moved on And like I said, in 1967 through 69, a major shift in the actual gay community itself. Before, you know, gays basically needed places to meet because they couldn't meet the way that you meet. A lot of you meet anyway. You go, you can meet anywhere you want, the grocery store, church, whatever, and date and find somebody to fall in love with and get married. It wasn't so with gays. They had to find where other gays might be. And so they were, you know, they went to gay bars and stuff like that. And then in 67, they could start going to church. These groups grew rapidly to, you know, today they're almost in every country, in almost every large city and a lot of smaller cities. And of course, now we have all the various denominations, little group here, little group there, of all the denominations. If the city's any kind of size, then gay people have a pretty good choice of what Christianity denomination that they would go to. Now, you know, God was doing something. There's scripture for this. There's in Jeremiah, it talks about he will give pastors back to gays. Now, it really doesn't matter too much if you believe this as listen to me. What matters is that it's the fact that later on you're going to find out. But if you have to later on find out, you're not going to like the way that you find out because there's things going to happen and you're just not going to like it. You know, God's going to do something. He's had, his cup is to the brim. Whenever God's cup fills up to the brim, then God moves. And this attitude about gays has filled God's cup up to the brim, and now God is going to move. And church folk aren't going to like what happens because, you know, God has got a paddle and he's going to spank you. And you're not going to like it. Things are going to happen until you finally decide that you're going to check it out and find out things instead of just believing what you believed all your life. You know, going to a few verses that you think are talking about gays when they're talking about gang rapists, male temple prostitutes and all that, and you just kind of want this to mean that gay is sin. Well, times are changing. One of the things that are going to happen that's not just related to the gay issue, but related to church-wide sin for the past 2,000 years. In Leviticus chapter 26, if you read down to the fourth level of church disobedience, you'll see the state of the church today in the world. The church is so much in disobedience to God that you need a tribulation-like period to deal with it. The tribulation isn't because there is a lot of sinners in the world, or rather a lot of non-believers, or a lot of other religions or something. This is not why we're having the tribulation. We're not having tribulation period because Satan's got to have his day. That's not what the tribulation period is about. Both halves of the tribulation is to deal with God's people. That's what the whole thing's about. That's what this whole 7,000 year period, which 6,000 of them are used up, is all about. And that is to deal with God's people. And the way God deals with his people is if they don't obey him, then he starts doing things, you know. He has natural disasters happen. He has other nations that don't believe in him raise up and become a superpower and then come into his people and really, you know, practically destroy them and scatter them all over. You know, we know the story of the Old Testament, how often Israel disobeyed and God had to raise them up to the point that finally he scattered them all over the world. And then, of course, he said at one time, at one point in the last days, he's going to start bringing them back to Israel. Well, that's happened. They're back in Israel now, and so this generation won't pass away. Now, as Antichrist's kingdom gets more and more ready, which there's a group of 5,000 years, these are people I just simply call them Masons. It's real simple that way. But Masons have been by other names, and sometimes they will change their public name, as it were, to something else during periods of time that Masons were pretty much condemned and banned. They would change to another type of a name as for their secret society that would be more acceptable in the public relations of their secret society. And then, you know, as we have this idea that America was founded on Christianity. This is not what America was founded on. A lot of Christians did come here, and a lot of good things were done in Christianity. And Masons, you know, this is great because this is a part of their plan as well. But all the presidents, all the people that signed the Constitution, except for one, I believe it is, were Masons. 33rd degree Masons believe Lucifer did not fall, and that he is God. And that 5,000 years ago, he began to teach them how to reestablish the days of Noah. President Bush is a skull and bones Mason. He is a 33rd degree Mason. You may believe that he's a Christian, but he really worships Lucifer. And he has a distinct plan in the 33rd level that he has, that he is very much aware of for New World Order. We just got through hearing about Yasser Arafat dying. He was a 33rd degree Mason. Saddam Hussein was a 33rd degree Mason. Tehran's a 33rd degree Mason. You know, so you could just about go down the line of world leaders, and they're all in there. There's no enemies. You know, the civilians, the population, are for slaughter. They are playing the game, as it were, but they're deadly serious, to make the people of the world be so divided that at one point or another, they're going to call for some person to take charge of the world. And this person, of course, in the Bible, we know him as Antichrist. And these things are getting closer and closer. And Bush, who we as wonderful Christians voted him into power, now has the feeling about himself to really head off into doing his job, making World War III. And this is World War III is just at the brink and just ready to start happening. And I would urge you to start looking for these kinds of things so that you would know that these things are indeed about to happen. Hi. And so keep looking for these things. You know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to look. Because guess what? Your pastors aren't telling you. Your pastors are leaving a lot of the mystery of the coming days a blank. And so you won't know things that are about to happen. There are the pastors today in your church, almost all denominations are already in cahoots with this Reverend Moon guy, one way or another. And the headquarters of the denomination hand down information to the pastors, your pastor, to deal with the message in a certain way. And you're listening to this. One of the things that is being done is making a change from the King James Version over to modern translations. Because modern translations actually have 50,000 to 80,000 corruptions. And if you study like Westcott and Hort, you would then know where your modern translation really came from. The King James Version is being taught worse and as being the worst Bible you can get, that is really bad and really inaccurate and all that. They're really trashing the only Bible that is actually can be called God's Word. It's the only English Bible that is readily available to the world. All the other Bibles that had come from the same thing, the received text, sort of have passed away or sort of faded off or now and just in special libraries and gathering dust. So you need to understand the Bible you read, and your pastors are changing. The Assembly of God's, where my background used to be, the only Bible was the King James. You know, the joke was Jesus spoke King James English. Now you go to Assembly of God Church, and they use modern translation. I was just in a Baptist church, a great big Baptist church, and even had a college attached to it across the street, the Bible College there for it. And that pastor had a really spectacular multimedia presentation and about the biggest choir you ever see that put to shame any symphony. They had every instrument you could imagine. And boy, he really had a presentation. And in his presentation, he used many verses. And almost not the same Bible was used in every verse that he used a reference from. The only Bible he did not use was the King James. But he used all various modern version Bibles in his presentations of his message. And, you know, I wrote him, and he wrote back, and he said that he lets the Holy Spirit guide him of the, so that's how he chooses the Bible. Instead of finding out where the Bible came from and using the Bible that is correct and accurate, he is saying he is a Baptist, you know, us Pentecostals kind of says, about the Holy Spirit leading and stuff like that, because Baptists, you know, they're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. They don't nothing of it. If anything, they say that's of the devil or something. But, you know, that's another story. And when I read that he said that he lets the Holy Spirit guide him, you know, you have to discern the Spirit. You got your spirit. There's all the demon spirits out there. And you got your flesh that's involved. Your spirit isn't God's spirit, so your spirit can kind of do what it only knows. And that doesn't mean that it's right. And you got the Holy Spirit. The way you can discern these is you get out the Bible and you read it. And when you go and you do studying and you find out that the Bible that you're reading comes from Westcott and Hort, and he took the corrupt version that was in Latin Vulgate, translated into a particular style of Greek that they invented, then retranslated to English, and then by sneakery and crookery and extreme influence that they had on the Church of England's committee to revise the Bible, got their entire translation into the modern translation of the Church of England Bible, where all modern Bibles come from. At the perfect timing that now, that was in 1880, and now, by 1946, new versions started coming out for our world today. And you have that. And Westcott and Hort was even more evil than that, because they formed some secret societies besides, you know, the Masons and everything. You're a Mason already if you're into the New World Order, going to have Antichrist Kingdom, and you're setting up to make a one-world government. But if you're going to be on the top-notch levels of this development, you'll have to be a member of this, I think it's called the Ghost Society, which Westcott and Hort invented. So Westcott and Hort are not just evil enough to get all modern translations that you love today, but they also developed a club where if you're going to be top-notch in Antichrist Kingdom in the government, then you've got to be a member of this club. So they're far more evil. And yet we love the Bibles because we say in the prefaces, they say that these Bibles are translated from the most original that you could get. And that's a lie, flat out. Now, because your pastor is not telling you things, because there's some very important thing of the time. You see chemtrails in the sky, and your pastor doesn't go into telling you that. Something's happening, and you don't ask anybody about it. You turn on they cloud up the whole sky, and the weatherman will just say, oh, today's a cloudy day. No, you saw the clouds being made by the government in these jets. Now, we have the Masons. Does your pastor tell you about Masons and what their plans are? There are things going to happen that's going to shock you. They're telling you something about the two witnesses that are not true at all. I'll be talking about the two witnesses one of these days. But, you know, when the deceptions come, you're going to be shocked. One of the first things the two witnesses are going to do is turn off the rain. This means a connection that makes you feel saved will be taken off from you, and you'll feel like Jesus forsook you. Jesus didn't forsake you. That's your faith supposed to keep that in, but you're not used to running on your faith. And so you'll think Jesus forsook you. many people are going to turn, as much as two-thirds of people, Christians, are going to turn their backs on Jesus. Now, gay people, listen to me. There's no game in your, if you're going to a gay church. Gay person that's sitting in your church and you're just thinking, you know, you can't do much about it. You got to keep your peace. You got to be quiet. Now, I'm not telling you to get up and say you're gay in front of your congregation, all the people beside you in the denomination that you're sitting in. But I want to tell you something. I want to encourage you to understand that from at the minimum of 1967 on, God began it though in the end of the 1940s, but from 67 on, God began to train gay Christians more directly in all the different gay churches, and indirectly because you're still going to church and you're listening to what the pastor says and you disagree with some things when it comes to gays, or some of you are still believing gay is sin. Many of you gay people still believe what the church is saying. But let me tell you something. You got something that straight people don't have. No matter what straight people think. Don't matter if they think that gay people are thinking there's something special or something. What matters is there is a chosen group of people, an army of people, that's going to be ready, because you got something that straights don't have. You had to live in persecution. You had to live in all your brothers and sisters hating you in Christ Jesus. You had to live through this all your life. And you still got your faith. Now, this is going to mean something to you. There's going to be more being taught to you as the time comes on. But there is a purpose for you. There is, the church cast you out 700 years ago, and God brought you back in 1967, 1968. And he's preparing you. He's training you. You are being trained every day of your life that when that day comes, when the great deceptions come, and huge numbers of Christians fall away from Christ, they lose hope, they think that it's just so terrible, they don't know what to think now because what their pastors are saying wasn't true. They're finding pastors exposed as believing in Lucifer because they're 33rd degree level. They're learning all kinds of stuff, and there they are thinking that God's forsaken them, and they have no hope, and they turn their back. There's going to be an army of restorers. Gay people, you are specially called to be in the army of restoring God's people. One of your main ministries in the last days is to go to the straight Christian that feels so lost because of the great deceptions that are coming. They're going to think they lost their faith. They're going to think God doesn't like them anymore. They're going to be so ashamed of themselves for the way they treated people. And gays, you are called. I want to emphasize this to you, gay people. You are especially called, chosen people of God for doing a job in the last days. And that's going to come to pass. Right now, there's a confusion, sort of not knowing for sure your place in the church. Well, this is going to change. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God and that God rose you on the third day. Now, a simple prayer gets you saved. Just remember, now, read the Bible and get ready, because the days are coming when life as we know it will not be the same. The United States is going to go into martial law. In fact, it's going to go into something like a theocracy, like legislating the Ten Commandments. See you next week.